His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied?
Well, as we wind our service down here, I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming. We know that there are a lot of relatives visiting. My own mom's here. Glad to have her here today to see the kids sing or not sing, depending on how your grandchild did. And so that's all part of it as well. So I want to wish you an early Merry Christmas. Well, just as we wind down, I'd like to share with you Matthew's account of the Christmas story. So if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1. And I have the whole story written out in your program, in your bulletin there. I'm just going to read from verse 18 of chapter 1 to the end of chapter 1. Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph. Now just notice right there, whenever it talks about Mary, it talks about Mary being Jesus' mother, but when it talks about Joseph, he's mentioned as Mary's husband. And her husband Joseph, verse 19, being just man and unwilling to be put to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let me just have a word of prayer and ask God to bless as we close down here this morning. Father, thank you again for your many blessings. Thank you for the blessing of all the kids. And Lord, we see in very infant form your blessing, and we thank you for the numerous amount of kids that you've given us. And Lord, we want to thank you for them. It's a great privilege, a great responsibility, Lord. Help the parents, help the church family, help me as a pastor to shepherd these little ones to grow up, to love you, to place their trust in you, and to live for you. Lord, I pray even right now that you would help us to elevate your son for a couple of moments here. In Christ's precious name, amen. Well, there's two names mentioned in this little short passage of Scripture for the Son of God. And the first name is Jesus, and the second name is Emmanuel. And you might ask, well, what's so important about a name? And today it seems crazy when couples have children, the different names that come out. You don't see the basic Daves anymore, although I'm still hoping one of my grandkids will be named Dave someday. Probably saying that, I just blew it, didn't I? Probably. Well, you probably didn't expect to hear about Romeo and Juliet this morning. But Shakespeare in Romeo and Juliet was really trying to make a case that names don't really matter. And just to remind you, in case you haven't read it or heard from Romeo and Juliet in a while, Romeo was a Montague and Juliet was a Capulet, and those families hated each other. And so Juliet and Romeo, there was no real chance for them to be able to get together. And Juliet loved Romeo. And I bet you can help me with at least this part of it. Help me finish the line. Oh, Romeo, oh, Romeo. Art thou Romeo? Very good. Then right after that, Juliet said, deny thy father and refuse your name. And then just a little bit later, she said, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." And so Shakespeare was trying to make the case that the name didn't really matter when it came to love. Well, God would beg to differ. Names do matter, and certainly names mattered in all of Scripture. Let me just give you a couple. Moses, the name for Moses means to draw out, and he was named because of the way that he was taken out of the river, the way he was saved as an infant to draw out. Isaac means laughter, and we know about Abraham and Sarah and how she laughed when God told her that she would be pregnant. God changed Abram to Abraham, he changed Cephas to Peter, and he changed Saul to Paul. Names matter to God. Well, there are no names in all of Scripture that are more important than the names that God gave His one and only Son. If you look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we see the first name in this passage. And the angel says, "You will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Just in case you escape the Christmas season and you celebrate the birth of Jesus and you don't really know what Jesus means, it literally means Savior, or God saves, or Jehovah saves, or God is salvation. That's what it literally means. So his very name itself was filled with the purpose for which he came. And then it says in Matthew 1 and verse 21, she will bear a son, you will call his name Jesus, for the purpose of, he will save his people from their sins. He's a Savior, and he came to save. And the word saves just literally means to rescue from danger and destruction. And then secondly, and often we forget about this, to keep safe, sound, and secure. So a Savior is one who saves. He saves you from destruction, and then he keeps you secure. And specifically, in this passage of Scripture, we're saved from our sins. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so this Christmas season, God wants you to know very clearly why God sent His Son. He wants you to know the very purpose for which we get around here, and the little kids dress up as angels and they sing or they don't sing and they mess around. And a couple years ago we had a fist fight right over here in the left corner. Some brothers decided they were going to duke it out right up over here, and we were praying that we wouldn't lose any off of the backside over here. But the purpose for Christmas, the purpose for which Jesus came, the purpose for which God named His Son Jesus, was because He was going to save us from our sins. And Jesus makes sure in every gospel that you know it. Now, you don't need to turn to every one of these. I have them up on the screen. So you have Matthew's account of why He's named Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says in the three gospels. In Mark, in chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but to those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Luke recorded what Jesus said about his purpose in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." That's his purpose. That's the purpose of Christmas. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved and who loved Jesus, said in John chapter 3, starting at verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him, Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Now, we celebrate, and it's a time of joy, and we've had some special times for Christmas already around family, and I'm sure you will as well, and maybe today even. But there are many, and probably a lot, who their view of God is he's coming with a big sledgehammer to condemn you. That's not the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that He's come to save you from your sins. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, Peter said, let it be known to all of you. He's talking to the Jews in Jerusalem who said, crucify him, crucify him. Peter said, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is surely standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. Now listen to this about the name Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's his purpose for which he came. Paul said in many places, I just choose out one where he talked about himself, in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, he says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. So his name is not called Jesus because he's our example. He surely is that. His name's not called Jesus because he's a great teacher. He surely is that. His name's not called Jesus, and you can put any number of things in there. His name is called Jesus because he came to save us from his sins. That is his purpose. Again, Matthew 1:21, call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's his purpose. Now, how in the world is he going to accomplish that? How is an infinite holy God who separated from unbelievable sinners, undeniable sinners, how is God going to accomplish that? And that's where verse 23 comes in, and the second name of Jesus in our passage. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Which means God with us. God was going to accomplish this salvation, this purpose for which he came by becoming God with us. Very simply stated, to save us, he had to become one of us. That's his plan. His purpose is to save us, and his plan is to become one of us. Last week we looked at in John just simply said he skipped all of the Bethlehem and the angels and all that whole Christmas scene, and Christmas would be boring if we just went according to John's account of what went on there. But John said at the very beginning, the Word became flesh. He took on flesh and he dwelt amongst us. He was full of grace. He was full of truth. And he was sinless. So his plan was to take on flesh. His purpose is to save us. Has he accomplished his purpose in your life? That's the question this morning. Has he accomplished his purpose? Now, Jesus can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, and he's all that and plus some. But if he's not Savior, then in his eyes he's nothing to you. He's Savior. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, quoted often from right here, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul wrote down, inspired by the Spirit of God, that talking about Jesus, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took on flesh, he went to the cross. So think with me this morning. Jesus, he was sent from the heart of God. That's what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. He was born in the womb of Mary. That's what Matthew and Luke tell us. And then all through the New Testament, and even foreshadowed in the Old Testament, he died on the cross of Calvary. So he was sent from the heart of God. He was born in the womb of Mary, and he died on the cross of Calvary to save you and I from our sins. Has he accomplished his purpose in your life? That's the question that we would ask this morning. Now, I don't know what you thought of the video testimony of Barbie West. I appreciated it greatly, and she's such a sweet, soft-spoken lady. I wrote down a couple of words that she said that kind of drove her. All her life, even from a young person, she said she wanted to be beautiful. She said she longed to be loved. She wanted to be, in her words, accepted. She also said she wanted to be pleasing. She wanted to be alive to God. She wanted and eventually found a gentle and a quiet spirit. See, she said that she cried out to God and God heard her in her moment of despair. Well, I don't know where you are at this morning. I know in a group this large, just from being pastor and experiencing life myself, it's not all peaches and cream this Christmas season. Some of you have all kinds of difficulties going on in your life, and you have all kinds of loss going on, and relationships aren't anywhere even close to where you want them to be. Well, Barb, who had a desire to be beautiful and loved and accepted and pleasing and alive and have a gentle and a quiet spirit, she cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard her. I close with a verse that has become very special to me, written 600 years before Christ was even born. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Let me put the verse up on the screen and you'll see how 600 years before Christ that God had a plan to be in our midst and to save us from our sins. Listen to this verse. Claim it as your own. The Lord your God is in your midst. That's what it means to be Emmanuel. He's a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. That's who Jesus is. That's who he wants to be. When Barb said that she's found herself to be a more of a quiet and a gentle spirit, God's Spirit would have said, and Zephaniah would have said, well, of course, Barb, of course you've found yourself to be more quiet and gentle in your spirit. You know Jesus, and Jesus said that he will quiet you by his love. Do you know this Jesus in this way? Do you know him as Savior? I pray to God that you do.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.